Welcome to Trustworthy AI, de-risked business adoption of AI, hosted by Pamela Gupta, a leading voice in business strategy, technology, and cybersecurity. With extensive experience in global industry leadership, Pamela has explored critical themes like achieving business value with AI by adopting a holistic risk-based approach to AI trust. She defined 8 essential pillars of trustworthy AI. Read more details at the trustedai.ai website. Her insights have shaped the way we look at the impact of cyber warfare on business, strategies for efficient digital transformation, and governance views on algorithmic failures. Join Pamela as she delves into her signature framework, AI Tips, standing for Artificial Intelligence Transparency, Integrity, Privacy, and Security. This podcast is all about operationalizing governance and building trustworthy AI systems from the ground up. Whether you're an industry professional or just AI curious, Trustworthy AI offers thought-provoking discussions and expert insights to guide the ethical future of technology.
Hello and welcome to Trustworthy AI, Help De-Risk Adoption of AI. Today we're going to be talking about Trustworthy AI in biotechnology. I'm talking to Kim Gold. Kimberly Gold is Chief Privacy Officer and Executive Director at Genentech. Genentech is a biotechnology company. In fact, it is the world's first biotechnology company. And they have pioneered biotechnology industry and revolutionized treatment for some really complex health problems. It is also dedicated to pursuing groundbreaking science to discover and develop medicines for people with serious and life-threatening diseases. So as you can imagine, there's going to be a lot of role and critical role that AI can play and will be playing in shaping how and what can be done with biotechnology. And I'm really interested in having this conversation with Kimberly on what are some of the challenges that we need to be looking out for and solving for when it comes to AI in biotechnology. Welcome, Kimberly. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Kimberly, can you tell us a little bit about your background, please?
Yeah, sure. I've been working in the data and privacy space in healthcare and life sciences for about 15 years. I'm a lawyer by practice, and I was practicing at a few different law firms, starting in the healthcare space, healthcare regulatory issues, and then moved into health information technology and health privacy, HIPAA, and then more broadly working on general privacy matters and data-focused initiatives. And I joined Genentech in 2020 in the midst of pandemic lockdowns. Genentech was a client of mine at the law firm I was at, and they were looking for someone to come in and lead their privacy, legal, and compliance function. And it was something I'd always been looking for, and I love the work. I love being able to impact patients and, you know, help develop life-saving treatments.
Yes, thank you. That's so I'm really interested in learning a little bit more about. I'd like to start off with what are some of the challenges around privacy, for example? What are some of the bigger challenges that come with the job? But let's start with privacy first.
Yeah, and I mean, privacy and AI that we'll talk about are so closely aligned, since they are inherently focused on how we can use data, and as we'll be talking about, how we can use data responsibly is really at the core of privacy as well as responsible AI. And when people ask me what keeps you up at night, I think more recently it's been more on the developing privacy and AI legislation. It is changing at lightning speed, both locally and at the U.S. federal level, at the state level, and then there's like globally as well. And so, and it's not just legislation, it's also the enforcement actions. And it's developing and changing so quickly that, you know, you go out on vacation for a couple of days and you miss a huge amount of news, right? So, like I came back from, I was I was on vacation with my family and I came back and there was a new federal privacy bill that was proposed and, you know, all these other developments just in the course of a few days. And so I'm responsible for implementing privacy compliance across my organization. And you can imagine how challenging it can be to develop a privacy program, but also constantly monitor and enhance and change and improve the privacy program in real time to account for this changing privacy legislation and policy and, you know, helping the business understand what the priorities are when it comes to privacy risk, as well as, you know, one of the fun parts of being in privacy and being in data is that it's more of a business enhancing role. We get to help our business clients innovate and help them find practical solutions. And so it's just underlying that is the fact that this is a rapidly changing area. So, and trying to keep up with all of that changing legislation, and in particular in life sciences and healthcare, we're dealing with the general privacy legislation that applies across the board, the comprehensive state privacy laws and how FTC is regulating, but also industry specific regulations that also can apply. So you're mm-hmm. looking at this patchwork at both the general level, the industry level, the local level. So it's a lot of intersecting pieces. And what it comes down to generally is trying to find the principles that are common to all of those as we're advising internally, because it's just there's too many diverging requirements to kind of just find like what's in common, like transparency, things like that, that we can use and apply across the board, despite all the changes that are happening.
Yeah, I hear the dilemma and the challenge. This is not how it's supposed to be, right? Regulations are supposed to be a kind of a guardrail, but mm-hmm. not add to the confusion and the uncertainty, right? So the way I look at it, there is uncertainty that the technology, AI itself, imposes and brings with it. There is so much to keep track of. There is so much of a dynamic nature where it's not a conventional system that you create a guardrail, you put in the guardrails, and you put a framework. And even that sometimes can be very challenging in a really large company mm-hmm. with a charter such as yours with biotechnology. And there is so much more that I want to kind of delve into. But regulations should be not changing. Regulations should not mm-hmm. be a problem. But anyhow, so that I think there is some, hopefully there will be, you know, some stability as in the next few months. Let's see if there is guidance that, you know, you can get, or if EU AI Act, for example, can be your North Star, or there are other countries that have come out with regulations. If you took the approach, let's say, of let's just follow the most stringent regulation, and that way, you know, it couldn't be more worse than that. It couldn't be more requirements or more complex than that. If you had to do that, right, would that be of help? Would, you know, what are your thoughts on some of the international AI regulations?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, it was a similar question that came up when GDPR went into effect from a privacy perspective. And around the world, the question came up, well, should we apply the most stringent standards? Should we apply GDPR across the US? And ultimately, it doesn't always make sense, and it can inhibit innovation in some cases. So I think, and, you know, I'm part of industry groups that benchmark too, and we try to discuss and find, you know, so that we're kind of applying similar approaches. And it seems like in general for privacy, and I think AI as well, a lot of companies are adopting this approach of finding these common principles. And then for local jurisdictions that are much more stringent, applying the more stringent regulations, but only where it's going to make sense. So if you take the most stringent regulation, let's say it existed in some foreign country, I can't name it right now, and, you know, applied it across the US, for example, and the US didn't actually require that, and it could essentially slow down research and innovation. No. I don't think that would be tenable. So in general, this principles-based approach seems to be winning out, I would say. And in like privacy and AI, it's similar where there's transparency, there's what are the rights to this data? So, you know, it's similar to privacy where it's what are the rights to this data? Do we have the legal right under this specific law to use the data in this way? You have to ask the same question when you're using data for AI. So I think you can find those commonalities. And I think also privacy and AI regulation are both emerging with common risk-based approach, I would say, where you're expected to evaluate risks, to minimize risks, do privacy impact assessment or risk assessments on the AI side. So it's like finding those common threads. And then, of course, where there's a more stringent requirement, try to follow that, of course, in that jurisdiction. But in general, like, you know, if you really step back, I think you can find some commonalities across all of these and then, you know, apply the more stringent approach where it's required.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, is there a way to do that programmatically so that, you know, so one of the things that we are seeing with AI governance that, you know, I've been advising on is the dynamic nature of AI governance. It doesn't fall into the same kind of a paradigm as what we are using for governance models currently, right? It has to be a little bit closer to the point of origin. It has to be a little bit more at the point of development and before things are actually developed, because it is critical to look at the risks, for example, as you're developing, as opposed to when it's already been out and deployed, and it can create some brand imaging, what have you, kind of issues for companies. Mm-hmm. So, do you have any thoughts on how to make it more dynamic and more close to the point of origin, to the teams that are working on these various business functions systemically?
Yeah, and it's such a good point, though, to have it built in from the beginning, because another remedy is algorithmic disgorgement. If from the start you're building AI using data that you shouldn't be building AI on, that you don't have the right to do that, the whole thing has to go away. That's one of the enforcement mechanisms that FTC has been imposing. I think it all comes down to data governance, and it applies both for privacy governance and AI governance. It's crucial to have the right governance over what data do you have and what are the rights to that data, and have it tagged appropriately to really be clear from the beginning as to what you may or may not be able to do with that information.
So I guess that leads to the question then. There will be various functions within the company that have either data governance or the traditional governance, which is, you know, for process, for risk, et cetera, for ERM, et cetera. How does this come to, you know, come together? And in other words, what would be your role in as a privacy officer?
Yeah, I think it is part of a broader cross-functional approach when we talk about data governance that applies more broadly than just privacy. It's important for other functions too, like for IP and protecting confidential information as well as personal information and AI. So just like cybersecurity, I think it's something that requires working closely with other cross-functional teams that overlap with you. So privacy works closely with the data governance function, just like it works closely with the IP function, like it works closely with the cybersecurity function. Okay. And it's important that we are able to build in the appropriate privacy controls and requirements in a data governance system. And then there's broader items that may be required for data governance, like data retention, which is aligned to privacy, but sometimes broader because it can apply to not just personal data, but be important for confidential data as well. So I think it just requires this teamwork approach, like most things in privacy. And it's one of the fun parts of being in privacy, I suppose, that we get to work across a lot of different functional teams.
So Kimberly, let's talk a little bit now on some real world use cases, right? How you are harnessing that power of AI. And like you mentioned in the beginning, right? You go to sleep and you get up, right? In that 8 hours is almost a lifetime now. There's so much happening every second sometimes. And it is not only exciting, but it can be overwhelming. And it also, you know, when you're managing the risk and when you're looking at it from a privacy perspective, a AI risk perspective, there are a lot of things to take into consideration. And I feel the more systematic it is and there is a process around it, the more, you know, comfortably you can sleep at night, for example, right? Because otherwise there's no way to really handle one-off kind of risk.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on adopting LLMs in your enterprise and in a responsible fashion?
About adopting responsible AI elements throughout the organization?
Large language models and generative AI, you know, what are your thoughts on, you know, some companies, for example, have forbidden the use of generative AI, right? Or ChatGPT, for example. Some are saying you cannot use LLMs. Is that the approach you're taking? Because there's also the risk then if you don't adopt it, you could be giving your competitors an advantage. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Oh, yeah, sure. I have heard that some companies have banned the use of generative AI. I don't think that's a tenable approach. And we have to assume that everyone's going to be using Gen AI in some respects, whether on a personal level or for valid business purposes. I think to your point, it is about setting up the right controls and helping the business understand how they may use it versus the outright prohibition. And so setting out controls of, you know, don't input personal information or confidential business information if you're going to be using it. Setting up a local instance is another way that companies have been dealing with this issue. In terms of building internal LLMs, also similar, you know, having the right processes in place to ensure that any data that's being used to train a model is validly being applied for that purpose, that we have the rights to do so in the first place, and setting out other controls as necessary, like internal access controls, sending out guidelines about what may be done with that, with the outputs of that information. Is it for internal use or is it for external use? So I think setting out those expectations, creating a policy, yes, but also actually applying that policy and working closely with the business to ensure that those guidelines are being met. I think it can be done in a responsible way and be used for innovation. It can be used to enhance research and to help develop life-saving treatments and medicines and things like that. It just needs to be done responsibly. And so I think it requires close alignment with the legal team's privacy, security, and ensuring that it's being used responsibly internally. I think it means that it can be used. I don't agree with the prohibition on using Gen AI as an approach, but really helping to enable the business to use it for good and in a responsible way.
Thank you. I agree. That's the pragmatic approach, right? Because I am seeing those who are either banning it or those who are just adopting it because they don't want to miss out on the value it can provide,
mm-hmm.
without putting in controls. And then there's the pragmatic approach that you mentioned, right? Let's take a look at what we can do, how we can de-risk it for our implementation.
Yeah, so, and I think in the outset, there should be a valid business case, a justification for deploying it in the first place. It's not just let's play around with it, but, you know, we have a valid business case and here's what we want to do and how we want to use it, and aligning with the right privacy or compliance or legal folks as necessary to deploy that appropriately.
Yes, I agree. And thank you. I agree with that. So I think the way, if I was to sum up our conversation from the challenges perspective, one is the dynamic fluidity of the regulations. And once that stabilizes, at least, and hopefully that will happen soon, that should give, you know, some reprieve, right, to those who are in your position. This is a very difficult role to fulfill. The other coming from the technology itself, right? It is so different from what everything we have experienced before, and it's changing so fast. We don't want it to be overwhelming, and we want it to lead to the intended outcomes, right? And looking at the red. And the third thing is, you know, how that can be done. And I like the way you described it, you know, with your leadership. I really appreciate what your the insights you provided on taking that, you know, approach to not only what your team's expertise is, how it plays and collaborates with those around the in the organization to achieve, you know, what will make the most sense for the business. Are there any, did I miss out anything? Are there anything that you, any concluding thoughts that you'd like to add?
Yeah, I think yes, it's challenging because it is dynamic. We're hoping for some stability. There's been some proposed federal legislation. We'll see where that goes. I think it's also an exciting time. It's exciting to be part of this developing technology and help see it through from the outset. So I view it not only as, yes, there's challenges, but it's also really fun, really exciting. And I'm glad to be part of, you know, along for the ride here.
Yeah, that's amazing because, you know, in achieving that trustworthiness, there are, and as we're seeing regulations shape up around that, there is security and privacy, but there's also things that are very, very unique to AI, such as transparency and explainability, audit, regulations, accountability, and bias, right? I think there really is no way that we can have that siloed approach, most importantly, to address not only what we are used to addressing as a risk, but those that are new to AI to to get that value and to get to a place where we can harness the energy and the true potential of AI. So thank you so much. I really appreciate the conversation and looking forward to getting more insights from you.
Yeah, thank you.